Parshas Azriah. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe lemor, and Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, Davel b'nei Yisrael lemor, speak to the b'nei Yisrael saying, Isha kisazriah, a woman that will conceive, v'yolda zohar, and will give birth to a male child, v'tama'a, she will become tamei, through giving birth, shivas yamim, for 7 days, kimei, similar to the days, nidas devoisa, of the flowing of the blood of her nida, titma, will she become tamei, just like a nida, a woman who is menstruating. The halacha is that she becomes tameh. The level of tumah of an ida and the level of tumah of an isha that gave birth, a yoledes, are equal. The isha hayoledes is similar to an ida, even though the yoledes gave birth without any blood. Even though it was a leda yevesha, still the halacha is she has the same laws of an ida. The laws of an ida are explained in Parshas Metzora, and this yoledes has those same laws. And on the 8th day, Yimol Besar Orlosai, the flesh of his foreskin shall become circumcised. The child must have a bris milah. The Kliyoker asks, why is the Torah telling us the din of the bris milah for this child in middle of the parasha of Yoledes, the parasha that is discussing the Yoledes, the woman that gives birth? And he answers based on the Gemara in Nida Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. The Gemara asks over there, why do we circumcise a child on the 8th day and not earlier? And the Gemara says, because if the bris milah would be done earlier, then everybody who comes to the suda of the bris milah will be happy. They are eating and drinking. But the mother and father of this child will not be happy, because since the mother is tameh and the father is usher to her, the father may not have relations with her. Therefore, the father and mother are not in a state of happiness. It does not make sense that everybody else should be happy and not the parents. Therefore, the Torah says, do the bris milah on the 8th day, after the tumah of the isha has already passed. They are mutter to each other, and this way on the 8th day, everybody is besimcha. Zok the Klei Yogar, that's pshat in the pasuk. V'tama shivas yomin, she is tameh for 7 days, and after those 7 days pass, then uvayem hashmina yimol bisar orlosai. On the 8th day, you can do the bris milah. Before we see pasuk dalad, we must give a small introduction. There are different stages in the tahara process, in the purification process. Typically, if one becomes tameh, he is tovel. He immerses himself in a mikvah. That is the first step of the process. After the tefillah, he only transmits tumah to that which is holy. For example, he can be metame truma and kachim. He then waits until Harav Shemesh, until the sun sets. Harav Shemesh is the second stage of the tahara process. After Harav Shemesh, after sunset, he may eat truma. By certain tumais, one must also bring a carbon. There are four types of tumah, where a person has to bring a carbon. A yoledes, a woman that gives birth, like we will see soon in this parasha. A zav and a zava, which are mentioned in parashas mitzvah. And also, a mitzvah, a person that has saras, he must also bring a carbon. In those instances, kachim may not be eaten until the carbon is brought. So there is a third level of tahara. Again, we have the tefillah, the hair of shemesh, and the carbon. The second stage, which we mentioned earlier, was the time between the tefillah and the Harav Shemesh, the setting of the sun. This stage is called Tful Yoy. He was already tovel, he already immersed himself in a mikvah, and now he is just waiting for the sun to set in order that he can eat truma. Typically, that stage is only for a few hours, from the time of tefillah until Harav Shemesh, until the sun sets. But by a yoledes, by an isha that gave birth, it is for a period of 33 days, since she is tovel on the 7th day, but her Harav Shemesh is not on that night, the night of the tefillah, but rather on the night before she brings the carbon, since she brings the carbon on the 41st day, so the night before that, she has Harav Shemesh, that is considered her Harav Shemesh, and then she can eat truma. So her stage of Tful Yoyim goes from the time she is Tovel on the 7th day all the way to the 40th night, the night preceding the 41st day. That's why she is called a Tfulas Yoyim Aruch, one who has a very long stage of Tful Yoyim. So it comes out that the stages of purification of a Yoledes is as follows. On the 7th day, she immerses in a mikvah and she becomes mutter to her husband. But she is still also to eat truma and kachim all the way until the night that precedes the 41st day. On that night when the sun sets, she is mutter to eat truma, but kachim she cannot eat until after she brings her karbonos on the 41st day. And the pasuk says, ushloishim yom ushloishes yomim. And for the next 33 days, the 33 days that follow the week of tumas nida, the din is teishev. She stays bidmei tahara in blood that is pure. Any blood that she sees during those 33 days are not metameher, but rather they are blood that are pure. B'chol kodesh loisiga, during these 33 days, she is not allowed to touch kachim. Although the pasuk says b'chol kodesh loisiga, which literally means she is not allowed to touch kachim, Rashi brings out a gemara in Yevamos that says the pasuk is telling us that she is not allowed to eat kachim. B'chol kodesh loisiga. All kachim she is not allowed to eat. And since it says b'chol, all, it comes to include truma. She is not allowed to eat kachim or truma. V'al ha-migdash lo-savay, she is not allowed to enter the migdash, the Beis HaMikdash or the Mishkan, ad melois yamei tahara, until the days of her purification are completed. Until she has Har Shemesh on the night of the 40th, which will allow her to eat truma, and until she brings the carbon on the 41st day, that will allow her to eat kachim. Everything we just said until now applies to an isha that had a zachar, a male. What happens if she gives birth to a nekeva, a female? V'im nekeva seled, if she gives birth to a nekeva, v'tama, she will be tame shivuayim for 2 weeks, kinidasa, similar to a nida. Even though a nida is only tame for 1 week, but the level of tuma that the nida has, this isha that gives birth to a nekeva will have for 2 weeks. V'shishim yoyim v'sheshes yomim, and for the next 66 days after those 2 weeks, teishev, she will stay, al dmei tahara, with blood that is pure. Any blood that she sees during those 66 days will not be metamer. So a nekeva has the same dinim as a zachar, it's just that the numbers, the days, are doubled. Instead of 7 days like a nida, there are 14 days like a nida. And instead of having 33 days of Dam Toyar, there are 66 days of Dam Toyar. When the days of her purification will be finished and completed, Levain Oilavas, for a son and a daughter, which means on the 41st day, if she gave birth to a son, and on the 81st day, if she gave birth to a daughter, she will bring karbonos, like the pasuk will say. Meshech Chochma asks, why over here do we find that the Torah calls the children Ben Oibas? And earlier, when it mentions them, it says Zachar and Nekeva. If you look in Pasuk Beis, it says V'yolda Zachar. And in Pasuk Hey, it says V'im Nekeva Seled, if she will give birth to a Nekeva. Why does the Torah change the Lashon? Meshech Chochma answers, because when a child is born, he is considered a Suffolk Nathil. We are not sure if this child will live. The first 30 days of a child, he has a din of a Suffolk Nathil. Therefore, when the child is born, the Torah does not want to call this child a Ben or Bas, because we are not sure that this child will live. That's why, when they are born, the Torah calls them Zachar and Nekeva. But in Pasuk Vav, which is discussing the 41st day, or the 81st day, which is after the 30th day, so it's not anymore in the Parsha of Suffolk Nathil, therefore the Torah calls them Ben Oibas, a son or a daughter. So the pasuk says that on this 41st day for a son, or on the 81st day for a daughter, Tavi, the Isha will bring Keves ben Shnasei la'Oila, a sheep in its first year for a carbon oila, uven yoina oisar lechatos, and a young dove or a turtle dove for a carbon chatos, el Pesach oil moed el akoyen, to the opening of the oil moed to the koyen. The Isha will not stand in the Azara because she is still Tameh, she did not bring her Karbonos, but rather, when the Pasuk says Al Pesach Oil Moed, it means that she will stand in the Shar HaNiknar, which was a gate that did not have the Kedusha of the Azara, and Tameim, people who were Tameh, that were not allowed to enter the Azara, stood over there. The Hikri Voi and the Koyim will offer it, will offer the carbon, lifnei Hashem, before Hashem, v'chiper oleho, and atone for her, v'tohara, and she will become purified, mimikar domeho, from the source of her blood. Although we stated earlier that a yoledes is tameh, even though she did not see any blood, so freik the dasakein mi baleatosis. Why does the Torah say that she becomes pure, mimikar domeho, from the source of her blood? He answers that since she has a din of anida, all her halachos are similar to anida who has blood. Therefore, the Torah says she becomes purified mimkar domeha from the dinim of one who has blood coming from the makar, from her source. But not that we are talking about that she actually saw blood. Zois Torah Hayaledes, These are the laws of a yoledes, a woman that gives birth, lazachar, to a male, or lanakeva, or to a female. Rashi is medayik. Why does the pasuk say v'hikri vay, and he will offer it b'lashin yachid, if the Torah says that she brings two karbonos, a keves la'oilah and a bird l'chatos? It should have said v'hikri vam, and he will be makriv them. He answers, because only one of these two karbonos is ma'akev, will prevent her from eating kachin, and that is the karbon chatos. So since only the karbon chatos will prevent her from eating kachim, therefore the Torah says, b'lashin yachid v'hikri vay, and he will be makrav it, because only one of them will prevent her from the eating of kachim. The Mefarshim also discuss, the pasuk says, v'chiper oleha, and he atones for her. He brings a kapara for her. L'chaira, a kapara, an atonement, is only brought for somebody that did an avera. What avera did this yoledes do that she has to bring a carbon that is mechaper on her chet? Some of Farshim learn, because an isha, when she gives birth, is in so much pain that she makes a shvua. She swears that she'll never have another child again. So in order to nullify this shvua, therefore she brings a carbon chatos to be mechaper on this shvua. Kliyakar says that this kapara is not a kapara on this woman specifically, but rather it is a kapara for Chava, the first woman that was created. Since she ate from the Eitz Hadas, and because of that avera, all women suffer until today with pain during pregnancy and during childbirth. Therefore, after she goes through this whole ordeal of having the Tsar Haleda and Tsar Ha'ibor, she brings a carbon to be mechaper on the avera that Chava did, in order that this pain should stop. That's why it says, v'chiper oleho, the kapara is not upon her, but rather on Chava. The Asakenim Mivali HaTosva says that we really don't have to say the word v'chiper is a kapara on a chet, because we find in many instances that the Lashon, the language of kapara, just means a cleansing. And the pasuk over here would mean, v'chiper oleho, through her kapanos, she becomes cleansed. And the pasuk continues, Vim loy simsa yada deseh, if this woman cannot afford a sheep, so instead of bringing a sheep, the lakha, she will take shtei sarim, either two turtle doves, oy shnei b'nei yayna, or two young doves, echad la'oyla, one will be brought for a carbon oyla, v'echad l'chatos, and one for a chatos, v'chiper oleha ha'koyin, and the koyin will atone on her, v'tahera, and she will become purified. A regular isha brings a keves la'oila and a bird l'chatas. But if she cannot afford it, then she brings two birds, one la'oila and one l'chatas. Rashi points out that the pasuk says oila before chatas, and we know that a carbon chatas is always brought before the carbon oila. So why does the Torah say oila first? Rashi says it's only l'mikra. Only for the reading of the Torah is oila first, do we read oila first. But when we bring the carbon, chatas is really brought first. So it's only for the reading of the Torah. Mefarshim ask, if Chatas is brought first, so why didn't the Torah say Chatas first? Why should we read Oila first? And they answer, because this Oila has a certain chashivos, a certain importance. Because it is the Oila that is the carbon that is changed based on the financial status of this Isha. Since this Isha cannot afford a keves la'oila, therefore she brings a bird la'oila. And since it is the carbon oila that is changing because the Isha cannot afford it, therefore the Torah says oila first. But when it comes to akrava, to be makrav the carbon, of course the chatos is brought first. Zok Rashi Pasuk Beis. Isha kisasriya, an Isha that will conceive. Amar Rav Samloi says, Kishem sheyitzi rosei shel Odom, just like the creation of Odom Harishon was achar kol behema chayev oif, after the creation of all behemos, chayes, and birds, b'maase bereishis, in the creation of the world, Hashem created the birds on the fifth day. Hashem created the behema and chaya on the sixth day, but before Odom was created. As the Gemara explains, that in order that a person should not become haughty. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created him last and said, if you will become haughty, you should know, why are you being such a big shot? A fly was created before you. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam last. So just like the creation of Adam was last, Kach Torasai, so too its laws, Nisparsha, will be explained, Achar Torat Behema Chayev Oif, after the laws of Behema, Chaya, and Oif. In Parsha Shmini, we discussed the laws of a Behema, Chaya, and Oif, that become Tamei. So after that, we discussed in Parashat Sasriya the laws of a person that will become Tamei, an Isha that will be a Yoledes. Just like in the order of creation, Adam was last, here also, in the order of telling us what's Tameh, we put Adam last and we say Behema Chayav Oif first in Shmini and start Parshas Sazria with Adam. The Mefarshim ask, if we are going according to the order of creation, then Adam was created before Chava. So therefore, the Parsha of Tumah of Adam should precede the Parsha of Tumah of a woman. So why does the Torah say first Parshas Sazria, which discusses a woman that became Tamei because she was a Yoledes, and first after that Parshas Mitzorah discusses a man that became Tamei because he was a Mitzorah? The Mefarshim answer that we also have a rule. We have a klal, Tadir Visheinu Tadir Tadir Koidim. That which is more usual comes first. And therefore, since a woman giving birth happens more often than a man becoming a Mitzorah, therefore the Torah says the parasha of Isha of Yoledes before the parasha of a man of Mitzorah. Zok Rashi ki Sazria, Rashi is bothered that the Torah should have said Isha ki Seleit Zachar, a woman that will give birth to a Zachar. Why does it have to say the words ki Sazria? L'Rabbis, it's coming to include Shafilu Yoldosai Machoi, even if she gave birth to a dissolved fetus, Shenimche, it became dissolved. Venasa, Kein Zera, and it became like semen, Imoi, Temea Leda, the mother is still Tame. Even though it was only Kisazria, similar to Zera, still she is Tame. Kimei, like the days, Nidas Devoisa, the flowing of her Nida, Titma, she will become Tame. Kisei, the called Tuma, like the order of all the Tuma, Ha'amura Benida, that is stated in the Parasha of Nida, in Parashas Mitzaira, Mitama Betumas Leda, she becomes Tame by giving birth. Vafilu Niftaha Kever Belaidam, even if the womb was opened up without any blood coming out. Devisa, what does the word devisa mean? Lashon davar hazav, something that flows, migufa, from her body. Nidas devisa, the flowing of blood from the nida. Zot Rashi lashon acher, another pshat, lashon mazdeh v'choli. The word devisa is a lashon, a language of sickness. She'eni she'roi adam sh'lo techla, and isha does not see blood without becoming sick. Roisha ve'evareh k'veidem malel, where her head and her limbs become heavy on her. So that's the pshat in the pasuk. Nidas devoisa, the sickness of her nida. Zok Rashi, for the next 33 days, teishev, she will stay bidmei tahara in dam toyar, ein teishev el loshon akova. The word teishev means to stay. Kimoi, like it says in the pasuk in Dvarim, vateishvu v'kodesh, and they stayed in kodesh, vayeshev be'eloni mamre, and he stayed in eloni mamre. Bidmei tahara, in blood that is tahar, afapi sheroya tahara, even though she sees blood, this blood is tahar during these 33 days. Rashi is now medayek why the word tahara is stated once with a mapikei and once without a mapikei. If you look at the words bidmei tahara, the hay of tahara does not have a dot in it. But yemei tahara, at the end of the pasuk, the hay of tahara does have a dot in it. So Rashi, bidmei tahara, in the blood that is pure, loy mapikei, there is no dot in the hay, behushem davar, because it is a noun, kimoi tayhar, like the word tayhar, pure. Bidmei tahara means in the blood that is pure. But yemei tahara, the days of her purification, mapikei, over there is a dot in the hay, which means tahara, her purification, yemei tayhar shalom, the days of her purification. Maskil David explains why it has to be like this, that the first time tahara is without a mapikei, and the second time has to be with a mapikei. And he explains, because the first time tahara is going on demei on the blood. The pasuk is saying, during these 33 days, any blood that she sees is blood that is tahara, that is pure. It does not make sense to say tahara, her purification, because it is not only concerning her that we say that during these 33 days the blood is tar, but any woman that gives birth after the first 7 days that she is like an Ida, the next 33 days that she sees dam are dam toyar, our blood that is pure. So therefore we do not want to say mapikei, which would mean bidmei tahara, in the blood of her purification, because it does not only apply to her. Therefore it says without a mapikei, bidmei tahara, the blood of purification. But at the end of the pasuk, the word tahara is going on the word yemei, days, on the days of her purification. The days are not tamei or tar. It's only in relation to her are these days tamei or tar. That's why the Torah says that she is not allowed to enter the mikdash until she completes Yimei Tahara, the days of her purification, because these days are not Tame or Torah to anybody else. Only concerning her are these days the days that will make her Tahar or Tame. That's why it says it with a Mapike. Zok Rashi lo sika, she shall not touch azara lo echel. This is a warning that the isha may not eat kachim. K'moy sheshenuya b'yavamis, like we learned in Masechta Yavamis, because the pasuk says b'chol kodesh lo sika, right next to the pasuk ve'el amigdash lo savay. Just like ve'el amigdash lo savay, the iser of one who is tameh to enter the migdash is bekaris. So we learn b'chol kodesh lo sika. The pasuk when it says b'chol kodesh lo sika is also referring to an iser that there is a chiyuv karis. One who touches kachim when he is tameh, there is no chiyuv karis. But rather, one who eats kachim when he is tameh does have a chiyuv karis. That's why the Gemara in Yavama says that b'chol kodesh lo sika is referring to one who eats kachim, similar to the chiyuv karis of ve'el amigdash lo savay. B'chol kodesh, why does it say b'chol? L'rabbi says that truma, it comes to include that she may not eat truma until she has harav shemesh. L'fish ezu tfulas yom aruch, because this isha has a very long stage of being a tful yom. Shetav lo l'say shiva, she immerses herself in a mikvah at the end of the seventh day. Ve'en shim shamariv, her sun does not set to allow her to eat truma, l'tara, to purify her, at shkiyas hachama shel yom arboim, until sunset of the 40th day. Shelamachar, because on the following day, Tavi es kaporas taharasa, she will bring her karbonis. Pasuk says, Hikrivoi, and the Kohen will offer it. Lamedcha, she'ein ma'akva lecha b'kachim. It does not prevent her from eating kachim. Ela echa mehem, only one of these two karbonis. That's why it says it, B'lashin yochid v'ikrivoi. Ve'izehu, which carbon is this? Zechatos, this is the chatos. Shenemar, because the pasuk says, v'chipor le ha'koyim v'tahera. Further on, in pasuk, ches, the pasuk says, v'chipor le ha'koyim. The koyim will atone for her and purify her, so we darshin v'chiper. Mi shehu bo l'chaper. The carbon that comes as a kapara, as an atonement, boy ha'tahara tluyiboy. That is what the purification is dependent on. The chiper, that which comes for kapara, v'tahera, will allow the tahara to take place. And since it is the carbon chatos, that is the one that is brought for a kapara, that is the one that is ma'akev, that will prevent the isha from eating kachim. The Sifsei Chacham is medayek. Why does Rashi have to go to Pasuk Ches, to the Pasuk of the chiper, oleh ha'koyim v'tahera, to make this drasha? Why can't he use the Pasuk in Pasuk Zayin where it says v'chiper oleh v'tahera? We can make the same drasha from those words. Sifsei Chacham answers, because over there it is a little better of a diuk. Because if you look at the Pasuk, right before v'chiper oleh, it says the word l'chatos. So we can say that the kapara that we are referring to, that is ma'akev, the eating of kachim, that is the carbon chatos. But since in this pasuk, before the word v'chiper, it doesn't say l'chatos, that's why it does not bring this pasuk as the raya. V'tahara, and she will become pure, michlal. From here we see, she'ad kan kruya tmeya. Until this point, until she brings her karbonos, in certain ways, she is still tmeya, because she cannot eat kachim. Echad la'oila v'echad l'chatos, one for a carbon oila and one for a carbon chatos. Lo'ikdima ha'kosum, the Torah did not put the oila before the chatos, el le'mikra, only for reading it. When you read the Torah, you read oila first. Avala akrava, but concerning being makrav and offering the carbon, chatos koidem la'oila, the chatos comes before the oila. Kach shoninu b'zvachim, so we learned in zvachim, perek kol ha'todir, in perek kol ha'todir. Maskal David asks, why does Rashi wait until this pasuk to ask this question? Why the Torah says oila before chatos? He could have asked this question in pasuk vav, where over there it says that she brings the keves la'oila and ben yoina oitar l'chatos. Why does it say oila before chatos? And you cannot say it is because over there we are referring to an animal, a keves la'oila and a bird l'chatos. So maybe you'll say then when you're bringing an animal and a bird, the animal comes first and you bring the keves la'oila before the tar l'chatos. Because the Maskil David says that it is a beferish gemara, that even over there the chatos, which is a bird, precedes the bringing of the keves, which is an animal, la'oila. So why didn't Rashi make the diak from there? Maskal David says, because he is bothered by the wording in Pasuk Ches. And that's why he made the diak from Pasuk Ches. Why in Pasuk Ches does it say, Echod la'oila ve'echod l'chatos? It should say, Echod la'oila ve'hasheni l'chatos. Why does it say Echod? It must be because in certain ways, the chatos will be Echod, will be first. and that is la hakrova. The chatos is really coming first when it is offered, and it's only lemikra that the oila is said first. There is a very interesting balaturim in pasuk vav where the balaturim asks, why do we find in pasuk vav that it says ben yoina oisar? It says the yoina first, when all over in the Torah it always says tar first. The turtle dove is said before the dove. Like we find in pasuk ches where it says shtei sarim oishnei bnei yoina. First the tarim and then the bnei yoina. So why in pasuk vav does it say yoina first? And he answers, because in pasuk vav you are bringing one bird, either one ben yoina or one tar. If somebody has a choice to bring one ben yoina or one tar, the Torah is telling you bring the ben yoina first. Why? Because the Torah had rachmanis on this tar, on this turtle dove. Because the nature of a tar is that if the male was taken away from the female tar will never mate and take another zachar, another male. This female tar will remain by itself forever. The Torah did not want that to happen. The Torah had rachmanis on the female tar. And therefore the Torah says, if you want to take a ben yoina or tar, take the ben yoina first. Because the female yoina will find another mate. But only as a last resort should you take the tar and break up this couple. But later on in Pasuk Ches, where over there it says, you shall take shtei sarim or shnei bnei yoina, you are taking two, so then you can take the male and the female. You're not breaking off the couple. That's why it says over there you can take the tarim first. L'chaira, there are two difficulties with this balaturim. First of all, it should come out based on what the balaturim says, that when the person takes shtei sarim, he should have to take a couple, a male and a female. Because if he were to take two males, he'd be breaking up two couples and doing more damage than what was being done in pasuk vav. And we do not find in halacha that he must take a male and a female. Secondly, what will the balaturim do with the pasuk in Parshas Vayikra, Perek Aleph, pasuk Yudalot, where there the pasuk is discussing a voluntary carbon oila brought from oifos, from birds, and the pasuk says he can bring tarim or bnei yoina, one tar or one bnei yoina. And over there the pasuk says tar before ben yoina, even though we are discussing one bird. So we have to understand how the balaturim will answer and explain these two kashas. And the pasuk continues, the parsha of Saras. Vayidabar Hashem el Moshe ve'el Aharon lemer, and Hashem spoke to Moshe to say to Aharon, saying, Odom, a person, ki yieh ba'or besore, that will have on the skin of his flesh, a nega, se'es, oy sapachas, oy baheres. There are different levels of whiteness of the Saras, and the pasuk is telling us these different levels of whiteness. Se'es and baheres are the two main categories, and sapachas is the name of the subcategory. Se'es, the Torah is saying that a person will have the main category of Se'es or its subcategory called Sapachas, or the person will find Baheres, the main category of Baheres, and its Sapachas, its subcategory, its Toldo. Se'es, the Gemara says, is white like wool. The Sapachas, the subcategory of Se'es, is Kikrum Shel Be'al, white like the membrane of an egg. Baheres is white like Sheleg, like snow. The sapachas, the subcategory of baheres, is white like sida hechel, the plaster of the hechel. They used to plaster the hechel of the Beis HaMikdash once a year. So white like that plaster is the sapachas of baheres. So if somebody finds on his flesh any of these four colors of saras, white like wool, white like snow, white like the membrane of an egg, or white like the plaster of the hechel, and it will be on the skin of his flesh for a negetzaras. It will be brought to Aaron the Kohen, or to one of his children the Kohanim. It is a gzeres hakosav, a decree in the Torah, that the tumah and the tahara of a negetzaras can only be done through the Kohanim. In order to state that this neges tame, or to say that is tar, it can only be done through a Kohen. And the Kohen will see the nega ba'or ha'bosar on the skin of his flesh. And the hairs in the nega turned white. There were two dark hairs in the nega, and these two dark hairs turned white. That is a simon of tumah. And the appearance of the nega looks deeper than the skin of his flesh. Rashi says that this is a fact of nature, that when you have two things next to each other, something that is dark and something that is light, the light thing looks deeper than the dark thing. Just like if you have on one surface sun and shade, the sun looks like it's deeper than the shade. It looks like the shade is on top of the sun. So since you have white tzaras on skin, the tzaras looks deeper than the skin. Nega tzarasu. This is a nega of tzaras. And the Kohen will see it and declare this person to be Tameh. Since he has two dark hairs that turned white, that is a Simen Tumah, and this person is a Mitzera Mukhlat, a definite Mitzera. The Im Baheres Levonahi, Me'or Besorai, if he has a white Baheres in the skin of his flesh, Ve'omoik Ein Mar Eho Mina'or, and it does not look deeper than the flesh, and the hairs inside the nega did not turn white, and the Kohen will lock up the person that has the nega for 7 days. According to what Rashi said earlier, that it is a fact that something that is light always looks deeper than the thing that is dark. So what's pshat in this pasuk? How can the pasuk say that the tzaras does not look deeper than the skin? If it is a fact, then it has to be like that. And that's why Rashi says, lo yadati pirushoi, I don't understand pshat in this pasuk. It's not possible for the tzaras not to be looking deeper in appearance than the skin. Ramban therefore learns that the pshat in the pasuk is different. Of course it's possible to have something that is white that doesn't look deeper than the thing that is dark. It depends how white the white thing is. So in Pasuk Gimel, where the teras was white, and there was also two white hairs, so everything was white, therefore it looked deeper than the skin. But in Pasuk Dalet, where the white hairs, where the black hairs did not turn white, so you have dark hairs in the middle of the teras, that does not make the white so white, and when one looks at it, it does not look deeper than the skin. The Maharam B'Rottenberg learns pshat in the Pasuk to answer Rashi. He says, the truth is, every light thing looks deeper than the dark thing. And the pshat in the Pasuk is like this, Ve'omoik, it looks deeper. Ein ma'areha min ha'or, its appearance is not similar to the flesh, it looks deeper than the flesh. So according to this, the Pasuk is saying over here also that the Marat Saras looks deeper than the flesh, than the Ur. The Pasuk says, V'hiskira koin es ha-nega shivas yomim, the koin will lock up the person with the nega for 7 days. In what way is this person locked up? The Ksava HaKabbalah and also in Sefer Shem Oilam both explain that the Mishnah says in the Goyim that the person that is a Mitzurim Muskar who is locked up may leave to go to the Beis HaKnesses, to go to Shul. So it does not mean he is totally locked up that he cannot leave, but rather it means that his door is closed and there should not be people coming in and out of his house. That's what it means by V'hiskir HaKoyin Etz HaNega Shivas Yomim. But the Radak learns that it actually means that they lock the door to his house and nobody may come in and out and he may not leave for 7 days. We explain the pasuk v'hiskir ha-kohen es ha-nega means that the kohen will lock up es ha-nega, the person with the nega, as if it says v'hiskir ha-kohen es ha-menuga shivas yomim. But there are those that learn v'hiskir ha-kohen es ha-nega means that they make a circle around the nega, since we will see that if this nega spreads after the first week, the person is tamei. So how do we know if it spreads? So the pasuk is saying v'hiskir ha-kohen es ha-nega, the kohen will encircle the nega, he'll make a mark around the nega to see how big the nega is, and if this nega spreads past this mark, we know that it spread. Dasakein and Mibali HaTosfos does not like this pshat, because he says that we can only do this, like the parasha says further, by nega hanesek, by a nega that is in a place where there's hair. Over there the pasuk says that we leave a few hairs around the nega, and if the nega spreads past the place of the hairs, we know that it spread. Over there nobody can tamper with the hairs, because how can you move hair? But over here we are afraid that the nega might spread, and the person with the nega won't want to be tameh, so he will move the line and make it bigger. This way, the kohen won't know if the nega spread or not. That's why he says we cannot learn pshat in this pasuk. V'hiskir ha-kohen etz ha-nega means that he makes a circle around the nega, but rather the pshat is like we explained earlier. The kohen locks up the person with the nega for 7 days. So again, the pasuk is telling us that if there are no two white hairs, then the kohen will lock up the person with this nega for 7 days. And the kohen will look at this person on the seventh day. He gives it time, 7 days, something that you look at every day, you can't really tell if it spreads. So therefore, we wait 7 days, and the kohen looks at it at the end of 7 days. And behold, the nega, omad ve'enov, stayed in the same appearance. It did not become lighter, it did not become a color that is not saras anymore. And also, like fosa hanega ba'or, it did not spread, because if it spread, then it definitely will be tameh. Then the kohen will lock it up for a second set of 7 days. If it got lighter and it's not a marat saras, it is not one of the colors of saras, it's definitely tar. If it spreads, it's definitely tummy. But if it stays the same, then he locks it up for a second set of 7 days. Let us go a few psukim further before we go back on the Rashi's.